The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Super Wednesday edition. A happier happy hour rolling into it. Your phone calls always appreciated. We got Nate lightly screening the calls. Just a few more weeks. We're losing Nate. We're sad about that. But we are hiring. I know. I look in the mirror often and wonder why can't we keep good help? We are hiring. If you'd like to be part of the greatest radio show ever. You know, we're going through a very rigorous interviewing process, looking for the most qualified candidates who can start sometime between now and the 22nd of March, because we're on the clock, apparently, Dom. So we will miss Nate, but not yet. He's still going to be a part. He's going to help us this hour. Dom, the Vice President of the United States, one block away from me. Of course, I was there. And this was like a super secret event. This was like the Fight Club event. This was not the public event that, you know, the riffraff got invited to. Dom, I had to pull some strings.
Oh, really? All right.
This event was held at 15 North Pinckney Street. That's the Wisconsin Capitol Square. It was at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin headquarters. And the occasion, the VP, Kamala Harris, second time I've seen her this year, Dom, in person. Second time she's come to the great state of Wisconsin. Last time, Waukesha County. I mean, nice folks, but not my kind of folks. Just saying. No, it's turning bluer all the time. We like Waukesha County. We're helping to turn it bluer, I would suggest. But when Kamala Harris comes to Madison, the mayor comes out, she proclaimed Kamala Harris Day in the great state. Well, actually, City of Madison doesn't have jurisdiction over the state.
Well, we can say it.
Well, I declare it Devil's Advocates Day in the great state of Wisconsin.
So say we all.
We need some help from Tony on that. And, you know, not on his good list either.
You know, the list of the good list is probably pretty short, right?
It's only because I have an excellent memory. So, Kamala Harris. Let's hear a little of the inside the room, the DPW headquarters. This, not for everyone, just for the super cool invited. So I've got some semi-exclusive sound for you nice people. Now, the vice president did not have amplification. She was speaking in a room with about 100 supporters and, you know, roughly about 10 media members. And so anyways, bear with us. The sound not great, but worth a listen because I brought it to you nearly exclusively. Kamala Harris in my backyard, Madison, Wisconsin. Play cut one, please.
I'll say, I think we all know this election is as much as anything about each of us deciding what kind of country we want to live in. Really is. It's about deciding whether we want to live in a country that prioritizes and values decency, democracy, freedom, liberty, rule of law, or not. This is an election that in so many ways is going to really determine what we prioritize in terms of how we measure the strength of leadership. You know, frankly, I think that over the last several years, there's been this perversion around that, right? Which is to suggest that the measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down instead of who you lift up.
The vice president questioning, and she was amongst the deep blue faithful. But which side are you on? This is a very important election. And the preliminaries, the primaries, they're over, man. Super Tuesday ended them. So when the VP came to town, she is here in general election mode. And of course, the existential threat to humanity, perhaps, is Donald Trump. So, you know, the stakes are high.
Donald Trump and the megas. It wasn't Donald Trump who ransacked the Capitol and crept on the walls. It wasn't Donald Trump who were beaten.
We'll be wild.
With flags. It wasn't Donald Trump who was tasing folks. It wasn't Donald Trump who was stashing arms across the river. It wasn't Donald Trump, you know, wasn't of the 13 or 1400 convictions. That wasn't Donald Trump. That was Donald Trump's supporters. It wasn't Donald Trump who came up with the false elector scheme, right? It wasn't Donald Trump. It was Eastman, and it was Cheesebro, and it was Troopus. It wasn't Donald Trump. All these folks, the supporters, the enablers. When you ask the question, do we value decency? Do we value democracy, freedom, liberty? You know, rule of law. I'm not clear MAGA does, not based on the actions of January 6th, not based on the efforts of the conspiracy to overturn an election, to throw out my vote. I don't believe that at all. So I think it's a great perspective for the vice president to put in, especially starting with decency. Can't believe I didn't talk about decency, but oh my God, people, do better.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking perspective. If you were at the Kamala Harris event, your perspective would have been obstructed view. You know, I had to get this video holding the camera over my head, my shoulders.
Oh, now. Man. How are your shoulders feeling?
I need a rub down. I got one of those bonker things, you know, like the super massager things at home. That's what I tell the kids. It's my bonker. So anyways, hands off, little heathens. More of the vice president in my fair town. It's Kamala Harris Day in Madison. Did I mention that? Play the vice president for the people, please, Nate.
It is so great to be in Madison. So we went by the house, and it's
she grew up here as a 5-year-old.
She's so very generous to allow, you know, it's like a huge footprint. You know, this is a whole obnoxious scene I got going on these days, and it was a cabin, and she's renovated a bit. But the thing I remember most from my childhood living here was the lake. And in the back of the house, there are these little steps that go down to the lake. And so to be there and to smell it and to see it, it brought back such fond memories for me of a really important time in my life and that important time in my childhood. So I do feel a very strong personal connection.
With Madison. And... you know, I've got to clarify with the campaign. Which lake? We have multiple lakes. Mendota, Monona, Caganza. We got lakes here, baby. I'm not clear which lake the vice president, when she was 5, grew up living near. But it was a good story she told and apparently visited the childhood home while here in Madison today. So that was kind of cool.
Nice. Showing her humanity.
A little more of the VP showing her political side as well. More, Nate, if you're ready for us, play more of Vice President Kamala Harris at the Democratic Party headquarters, Wisconsin Capitol Square. This was in the 2 o'clock hour.
What was it, 20,000 votes?
Yeah. The margin in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Ben, those exact numbers. So if I just look around this room, I think there are maybe 100 people, a little less. So if we think about how many people that each of you can touch over the course of the next 8 months to make that difference, whoa, the power in this room. When I think about it, what was it, 20?
The power of the room, Dom, with the Dem faithful getting out there. And before they brought the vice president out to address the crowd, they made sure everyone had downloaded a Democratic Party app, you know, so they could keep track and communicate and do the posting and all that kind of fun stuff. VP Ed Madison, it was good to see her.
Did you download the app, Crudy?
I did not. A media.
Okay, Boomer. Well, why not, man?
I don't know. It was offered to me many times as a possibility, but, you know, I was there as media. Media doesn't scramble and download the app. The Democratic Party, I assure you, because every time I've spoken before a Democratic Party function, I've given the $25 at the door just because, you know, I feel like I can afford the $25. So I have rejoined the Democratic Party like six times this year. They got my email.
All right. Well done.
Well, if people would stop asking me to speak, I wouldn't have to keep paying up. But my next event will be.
You're supposed to get paid to speak. Isn't that the other way around?
Hey, I'm lucky if there's like a cold beer and maybe some chili in it for me. I will be the morning headliner, or at least amongst the morning headliners. My understanding, John Nichols speaking at the 15th annual Wisconsin Grassroots Festival. Wow, and then 15. Yours truly will be the afternoon MC of all the events, Dom. So there better be some chili or beer in it for me, at least.
Not too much chili.
I try to give to the grassroots people. I don't recall. Whatever I got spare cash, usually after the kids, it's, you know, like $25. It's about what I can afford to give to the cause, Dom. But, you know, I got caps. 844-967-2789, you know, and standard. CJ, we talked to you. I'm dumping you out of queue. Bye. And let's see who's next. Mark from Sussex. Welcome, Mark. Also a little on the conservative side. Are you excited about the dominating victory of Trump?
Hey, Mark.
Well, I actually am. So, but my question is, actually, I have a comment about Scott Walker, too. But so is it better to earn it, the primary, to be the candidate, or to get pushed out like Joe Biden did with Liz Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, but yet they all turned around and endorsed Joe Biden right after they got eliminated, didn't they?
They did. They did before Super Tuesday. It was over by Super Tuesday in 2020.
Exactly, better... because they got pushed out by the party.
Well, tell me what your comment about Scott Walker is. It's got to be good, Mark, I suspect.
Well, how many elections did Scott Walker win?
Well, I don't count the state legislative elections, but he won in 2010, he won in 12 in the recall, he won in 14, and then he lost to Tony Evers. 3-1. He's still a loser. Thanks, Mark.
Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Come back 844-967-2.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, getting better all the time, especially when our awesome audience joins us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Mark, I think Dom would have given you more time. However, when you bring up the electoral record of the wanker, I'm going to throw it back in your face. He's a loser.
Hey, Mark, text into the line. I know we took your call. We don't do twofers in a day, but text in your call, 844-967-2789. Text in your question. I'd like to know what your point was. And as far as Mark's talking about the endorsement of, listen, I get the political process, but Donald Trump isn't a traditional political player, man. The guy tried to overthrow the government. The guy, yada yada yada. You know the story.
You're still holding that against him. He's the nominee now.
He is the nominee. I'm questioning Mark's thought process here and the MAGA's thought process, because MAGA just put a cigarette out on the GOP. It's over. It's over. Reagan, the Bushes, the Cheneys, the Romneys. I mean, hell, it's so over they changed their name. I'm just Dominic now, right? I'm like Prince and Madonna. Just call me Dominic. I'm not even having a last name anymore. It's entirely over, that traditional. You could say, you know, from that perspective, you know, strong on national defense, you know, smaller government, all the things that they claim to hold on to. Hell, we know the storyline, man. family values. Donald Trump has family values, really? You know, faith. Donald Trump has no faith. He held the Bible upside down when he cleared peaceful protesters with tear gas to go do a Photoshop holding the Bible upside down. So whatever they claim to have been was discarded, thrown out. If it ever was there in the first place, I would question that. How can you hold those kinds of beliefs, claim that you're principled and hold those beliefs, and all of a sudden a guy like Donald Trump, I mean, the antithesis of everything that you claim to hold dear, comes in and just rolls your party over because you think he's rich. And of course, he speaks with conviction. If you say it with conviction, it must be true. He lies outright over and over and over again. MSNBC had to pull their coverage last night because he was just, you can't fact check the guy fast enough.
Did they have to pull their coverage, or was that just Rachel Maddow?
No one has to do anything, but they decided to do that. That was what they decided to do. What am I going to do, man? That's what they did. But the point being, this isn't just Bernie Sanders endorsing Joe Biden. This is the what used to be the grand old party acquiescing and falling in line with the mega fascists. And we'll see, you know, to what degree the stink of Donald Trump and his behavior, his actions, his morals or lack thereof, his convictions, civilly and perhaps criminally, will have on what's left of the GOP. But it's not a normal circumstance, Mark from Sussex, to endorse someone like Donald Trump versus endorsing a guy like Joe Biden.
Let me point out a headline over at the Raw story, one of my favorite aggregators, Tom, Brad Reed, ex-right-wing insider, reveals why Trump superfans are impossible to argue with. Just a little of this coverage, Dom. I just want to get this out there. Here's what they say. Trying to use logical persuasion with your Trump-worshipping friend or relative is not likely to work. Not necessarily because they are stupid. And I did see on the text line, we had a recent text, can't fix stupid. But it's not because they're stupid, Dom, but because they have a completely different moral and epistematic viewpoint than you or almost anyone else. Facts for the Trump supporters are not based on science, reason, or history. They're based on authority, right? Sheffield dubs this framework as moral authoritarianism, as whether one's actions are demoral or ethical is determined entirely on the person who is taking them rather than the actions themselves. So if it's our guy, it's all right. Our morals say if our Cheeto Messiah does it, it must be okay. But you can understand why arguing this logic with them, Dom, doesn't work because they're not factoring in any sort of rationale or logic. Just a little bit more. He then goes on to document the lengthy history that such thinking has throughout the history of Western Christianity, which led to European monarchs proclaiming themselves to have the divinely chosen and sanctioned, right? That's how the God principle works. This is unfortunately why trying to use rational thinking or fact-checking to help your MAGA relatives or CJ or Mark come to their senses is not likely to work. Not only are they consuming information sources which filter out anything remotely critical of their dear leader, talking about media bias, they also simply do not think the same way. The idea that everyone has the same moral stature or authority is anathema. It literally must not be believed because to do so is to invite spiritual and psychic death, Dom.
So they're in denial? You know, come on. I mean, I get it. I don't disagree necessarily. But what kind of existence is that?
Dom,
it's okay if our guy does it, but if anyone else does it, it's not okay. What about consistency?
You seen the comparisons to Burisma? I mean, the whole Joe Biden, and we've got to impeach Joe Biden because his son was somehow involved in Burisma. We know it. And we got this laptop from hell that Rudy Giuliani tried to plan all kinds of stuff on, and Russian disinformation campaigns may have had an involvement in, but we know it. And then all our witnesses get thrown in prison, right? because apparently they perjured themselves to the FBI. But they don't care, Dom, right? You followed the headlines. You know these Republicans will do anything to besmirch the other. But we talk about the fact that Bonesaw MBS gave Jared Kushner $2 billion, a guy who's completely unqualified to manage this sort of financial portfolio, yet they were given this money over the objections of the sovereign Saudi fund. MBS said, no, give it to him. But we're supposed to worry about the $5 million alleged to have gone to Hunter Biden, who was unqualified to sit on a board, because it somehow corrupts his papa? You see the broken down logic here. Like, if Joe Biden's kid's a ne'er-do-well, then that must have a negative connotation on the father. But if Donald Trump threatens a foreign leader, you know, I don't know why he would, though. Well, hell, completely forgiven. Very Christ-like, these Trump MAGA supporters. You know, to forgive divine, Dom.
Well, that may be how it is, how they view this, the issues. But I think it, for me, that disqualifies their philosophy entirely. I mean, if X is bad for a person to do, then X is bad for every person.
Slow down, not when Trump does it. It's bad when see that first. Biden does it.
Yeah. Or when Biden's kid do it. When Biden's kids do it.
Yeah, they're not wholesome like Beavis and Butthead. Dom, here's the concluding statement by this researcher, Sheffield. Attacking their belief in the leader himself is ineffective because submitting to Trump has become part of their very self-concept. Helping people out of the cult begins by understanding why they're in it. I would say because they're weak human beings. I don't want to join a cult. More devil's advocates. Join our cult. It's kind of cult-like.
We're not a cult.
We could be. You got to file paperwork? How do you do that? 844-96-PARTY.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Super Wednesday edition, a happier happy hour. The president giving his State of the Union address tomorrow. The State of the Union is strong. That's what I say. We'll see how many times he gets interrupted. You know, we'll have to get out the bingo cards, Dom. Make it a drinking affair. Unless you're waiting around for the transcripts, in which case that could lead to day drinking. Because I would assume you're not reading the transcript in real time. I know it's your favorite thing to do. Like, hey, did you see the big speech last night? No. Is the transcript out? You've been doing that for years. That's
Man. You know, but I will make an effort. Maybe I haven't looked at my schedule tomorrow night, but I will make an effort. No, probably not. I think I'm going to go to the Dolly Rots concert tomorrow night, so I'm going to have to miss it.
Perhaps you can read the transcript after the fact. Then. You got to see the sit up, sit down, see if Nancy Pelosi tears up a script, does a golf clap, whether Joe Wilson gets up and yells, "You lie," something like
you
that.
You lie. Whether a Supreme Court justice shakes their head, not true. It is true.
I'll be interested to see all the Wisconsin congressional delegation as well, including U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. He's in the news again today, Dom. Did you see his connection with the cheese bro?
It's like there's more information has come to light, man.
Well, it certainly seems like more than a fleeting moment or a minute or even, what, this newest timing? Over a month?
A month?
He knew it was coming, the January 6th, for over a month. It's being reported at the Raw Story Today, Dom. Lawsuit unveils fresh details about Trump's fake elector scheme and links to a GOP senator. Ruh-roh.
What? Uh-oh.
Republican attorney settled a lawsuit in Wisconsin this week involving the creation of a fake electors plot between Kenneth Cheeseborough and a little-known lawyer called Jim Troupas, Wisconsin Who's Public Radio reported. I know who Jim Troupas is. That should be a requirement to work here. The civil lawsuit was brought by the liberal law firm Law Forward in conjunction with the Institute of Constitutional Advocacy and Protection, ICAP, Dom. ICAP director Mary McCord, an MSNBC analyst and former Justice Department official, explained in her podcast with co-host and former U.S. Attorney Andrew Weissman that Troopas began talking with Cheeseboro as early as November 8th, 2020, to hatch a scheme to create and submit fraudulent assertions that Trump had won the Electoral College in Wisconsin. The idea was that they'd be passed in they'd be passed to then Vice President Mike Pence, who would count them instead of the authentic ones.
I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, no kidding, right? The fake electors then met on December 14th, submitting their names and information as if they were the actual representatives of the Electoral College. And part of this document dump dom that we've learned, A, they cheered. They reveled in their criming at the Wisconsin Capitol after they'd cast their votes.
Now, to your experience, Crudy, have you ever like celebrated and cheered and gone on a tangent and an exuberation when you're scared?
Have
when you're
I?
Fearful? Can you imagine anyone?
Mostly when I've committed, you know, what could be construed as felonious conspiracy. No, I've tried to keep it to myself. Less cheering. Oh, okay. I've tried to keep the cheering down. You know, don't want to draw a lot of attention to myself. But anyways, Dom, let's get back to this coverage. IPAC's case was against the electors and the lawyers. Really, this was driven by Trump campaign lawyer Jim Troopas in Wisconsin. Again, that Jim Troopas keeps popping up, Dom. That, according to McCord from the ICAP, the goal of the lawsuit was to have the court say unequivocally that what was done was unlawful and civil conspiracy, McCord continued. Now, Cheeseboro asked Troopas to write up the plot in a memo. They wrote it up, Dom. It's on our Facebook page. You can read the plot.
Can you give me a bullet points on the criming, please? I can't quite understand it.
So Cheeseboro asked Troopas to write up the plot in a memo that could then be sent to the Trump campaign, the lawsuit stated. Troopas was then connected to Trump lawyers Rudy Giuliani and Boris Epstein. And thanks,
the finest people.
Thanks to the lawsuit, all of the documents, emails, and text messages have been made public. But Dom, how's that affect U.S. Senator Ron Johnson?
Ooh, let us continue. Crudy, one of the key parts of the Trump allies' argument was that the idea of the 12th Amendment doesn't clearly state how ballots should be counted, so allies could gum up the works with states of fake electors being sent to then-Vice President Mike Pence. The Wisconsin electors made their way to Washington, D.C., thanks to GOP staffer Alicia Gunther, who flew them to the Capitol. I believe she was quoted as wondering, like, didn't kind of felt like a drug deal, I believe was her quote on that, Crudy.
Did she celebrate afterwards, Tom? Because I've celebrated after making a few drug deals.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. They made their way to Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson, who claimed he had no idea how the whole scheme unfolded. Let's remember what Ron told us. He had no idea how the whole scheme unfolded. The emails and text messages.
My lack of involvement was seconds worth of texting.
My lack of, you know, when the guy stutters like that, he means he's lying to you. We've interviewed the guy a lot. When he stutters, he's lying. Anyway, thank you for that, Nate. Nice reminder. That's what he said. The emails and text messages released say something else. According to a text to Cheeseboro from Troopas, the latter said that he had spoke to Johnson last night on the phone about Pence just to take his temperature. He then explained the scheme to Johnson a full month prior to January 6th of 2021, the messages reveal.
What?
Let me repeat that. I know. This was news to me. Apparently, Ron Johnson was explained the entirety of the scheme a month prior to January 6th.
Well, that would make him privy to the conspiracy and all its grandeur, Dom.
Well, it's almost like he lied in that quote that Nate just played for us. He told CNN, "I was aware that we got this package and that somebody wanted us to deliver it, so we reached out." When Manu Raju asked who'd given the fake electors, he claimed, I have no idea. I had no involvement in the alternate slate of electors. I had no idea. This had even been delivered to us, got delivered to my staff. My chief of staff did the right thing, contacted the vice president's staff, said they didn't want it, so we didn't deliver it, he said. Johnson's aide, Sean Riley, told Pence's legislative director, Chris Hodgson, they had a list of for Michigan and Wisconsin. Do not give that to him. Hodgson replied. Weissman said on the podcast that the emails and text messages prove they prove Kearney. Cheesebro and Troopas, and I would submit Ron Johnson, Cheesebro and Troopas knew exactly what they were doing. A quote from Weissman. It was a public nuisance because it had impacted the community in Wisconsin and their ability to actually have their votes count. And that violated another law where these electors took the position of real electors, even though they weren't the real electors. I'm sorry, that's McCord. So we use these civil causes of action. We're trying to get the court to say this is unlawful and to prevent them from ever happening again. Weissman now quoted, it's so important that these cases get to trial because everything that you have seen and now a bit out there, that's the whole point of a trial for everyone to see. And I would like everyone to see this, Crudy. Again, the reporting here at the Raw Story. Ron Johnson was fully briefed a month before January 6th on what was going on. So Nate, would you play that one again? Let's play Stuttering Ron when he's lying to us, because what we know now, the document dump, he was briefed a full month before. Let's hear what he had to say, please.
My lack of involvement was seconds worth of texting.
My lack of involvement? I mean, it doesn't even make sense, Ron. If you had of involvement, there would be 0 seconds of texting.
But my preparation for that lack of involvement included being fully briefed on the conspiracy more than a month before we try to institute the criminal conspiracy, Ron.
The omission of the truth is not a lie. And of course, to quote Seinfeld, it's not a lie if you believe it.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it, Jerry.
You believe it. You can tell by the stuttering.
847.
Josh Call, Attorney General from the state of Wisconsin. Anybody there? Hello? Josh Call? Please call 844-967-2789. I think this is a question that people should be asking Ron Johnson, don't you?
I do. We'll have to chase Ron. Doesn't come around as much as he used to since the whole January 6th thing. Sort of been blackballed. 844-967-2789. A very patient Dick. How you doing, Dick?
Hey, Dick.
Good, guys. So, Nikki fought the Battle of Mega and she lost. Kind of like fought the Battle of Jericho. But I agree with them. She's not going to endorse them, and here's why. She's seen how bad Pence got burned. I've read several things, and I bet you guys know the same thing. Pence never thought when he took on running for VP with the clown that he was going to win. He thought he was going to lose miserably, and he'd ride in on the white horse in 2020 and, you know, lead the Republican Party. And look what happened to him. I think she's going to look at Pence and go, I'm going to stay away from this guy. He's toxic.
Well, you might be right, but I think you're wrong, Dick. I think within 2 weeks, she will offer a public endorsement of the Cheeto Messiah before the trial commences in Alvin Bragg's courtroom. I'm just throwing it out there.
Rudy, I'll take the opposite tact because, of course, we are the devil's advocates, and I believe it would be wise to wait until after Donald Trump gets convicted to make any statement whatsoever.
And the great thing about you is you're consistent in your incorrectness. 844.
You know, you keep saying that. You're like Donald Trump. You keep saying it, man. I've been right. I've been so right, baby. I hate it when I'm right.
Dominic, I would just say it's too much winning. Jack from Merrimack. How you doing, fella?
Hey, Jack.
Hey, the stuttering of Johnson, you mean that wasn't a lifelong thing like it is with somebody else we know?
No, right. Good point.
Yeah, anyway, I see some signs of hope. I'm usually the guy that calls in and I've got, you know, the glass half empty syndrome to in a lot of cases. I listen to you guys. I listen to NPR a lot. And until I need to take Dramamine for my stomach, I listen to Fox occasionally, as well as MSNBC and CBS. I was surprised and very pleased to listen to an interview that was done on NPR today. And basically, they were interviewing some of the Republicans that had voted in the primary. And at least a couple of them basically said, I voted for Haley because I couldn't stomach voting for Trump. And not only that, I still can't stomach voting for Trump. So I would not be surprised if a lot of Republicans that were self-identified as Republicans were not going to vote for Trump under any circumstances. At least I sincerely hope that's the case.
Well, Jack, I sincerely hope that is the case also. We heard that in New Hampshire and Iowa. We heard that in Nevada. So many of the Haley supporters were never Trumpers. But I also am concerned that in a primary contest, and in so many of these states, the independents, let's just say, can cross over and vote in the Republican primary. I'm not sure that these ever would have been so-called Republican-based voters that were making such an effort to come out and support Nikki Haley in the primary. I mean, the state of Vermont, no offense to Bernie Sanders' favorite state, but it's not going to turn the electoral math. And the, you know, the 50%-ish she took in that state, they may not want Trump, but that state's not the important electoral state. We're talking Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, North Carolina. The rest, they don't matter. I'm sorry. More Devil's Advocates. You always matter here. 844-96-PARTY.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now on the lines at 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient. We'll get to you momentarily. A little bit of breaking news. I want to throw this one out there from the CNN. The headline, Arizona prosecutors issue grand jury subpoenas as 2020 election probe intensifies. What? Apparently, several grand jury subpoenas sent out in recent weeks to people connected to efforts by Trump and his allies to overturn the 2020 election in Arizona. Well, you think that's a problem? If it was a problem in Arizona, and if it's a problem in Michigan, maybe it's a problem in Wisconsin. CNN reports the subpoena suggests the state-level probe is accelerating ahead of the 2024 presidential election, when Trump is expected to once again be on the ballot. Sources told CNN that Attorney General Chris Mays could be nearing a decision on whether to bring criminal charges. Mays, a Democrat, has primarily focused the investigation on 11 fake electors from Arizona and those who helped organize them. But sources familiar with the probe say she was also looking into individuals tied to Trump's national campaign as well. They talk about Eastman, but let's talk about the cheese man. Among those who have been interviewed by Arizona prosecutors in recent months is pro-Trump attorney Kenneth Cheesebro. CNN has identified him as one of Trump's unindicted co-conspirators in special counsel Jack Smith's federal indictment of the former president, which details how he was a driving force behind the fake electors plot. Well, yeah, man, him and troopers were on the horn with Senator Ron Johnson laying down the plan a month before. But Rojo, he doesn't know anything.
But. I'm on the phone.
Oh, no. Yeah, because you're not on the phone, sir. My lack of involvement was only a couple of seconds. My lack of involvement? What? Anyway, CNN has identified, Cheesebro pled guilty to the sprawling conspiracy case in Georgia. Arizona prosecutors asked Cheesebro about the December 2020 Oval Office meeting, also described in an earlier interview with investigators in Michigan. During the Oval Office meeting, Cheesebro said he told Trump he could still win and explained how the alternate electors he helped assemble in Arizona and six other states gave Trump an opening to continue contesting the election until Congress certified the results on January 6th. Gotta remember that date from something. Here's what Cheesebro told Michigan State investigators. I ended up explaining that Arizona was still hypothetically possible because the alternate electors had voted, he told the Michigan State investigators, later adding that this made clear to Trump in a way that maybe it hadn't been before, that we have until January 6th to win.
The light bulb went on.
That created the real problem. Anyway, Arizona being reported here at CNN updated at 6:11 p.m. Eastern. Apparently, grand jury subpoenas out and a decision to be made perhaps imminently on charges for that effort. Cheesebro, all over the place, this guy. And he had help in all these states. And in the state of Wisconsin, he had help from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
Kamala Harris said, what was Wisconsin's margin? About 20,000? Got corrected by Ben Wickler. He knew the precise vote differential.
Yeah, of course he does.
Arizona, less than 11,000 votes separated Trump from Joe Biden, the eventual winner of the state, right? And Trump was very miffed when the Fox News called it for Biden. How dare they present the math?
Well, and Carrie Lake, of course, running for Senate in that state, apparently has to face trial for this defamation lawsuit filed by another Arizona Republican because she continues to lie about his efforts and the efforts of Arizona to what, quote unquote, overturn, to stop the steal. It was all bunk. So she's it for the MAGA's ban. You have a senatorial candidate from MAGA who's going to go on trial for defamation against another Republican. It's this Republican issue. It's the Republican Party, the MAGA Party.
They're coming after her like they come after me.
I'm doing it for you. Come on, man. Do people believe this? I mean, really? Where's the BS meter? Come on, man. It's hard for me to actually believe that there's that many people in this country that would cast aside any sense of reason or rationale. Who am I kidding? 844-967-2789.
You've been to America, haven't you?
Have you met us? Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I had to look it up because all these lawyers take an oath. It starts with, I solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States. And the explanation goes
well, on. Well-meaning words.
Above all, they're supposed to support the Constitution of the United States. And I've said in the past, and I realize it gets tiresome, that 14.2 of the Constitution requires the electors to be selected by the people. I mean, it doesn't matter what Amendment 12 says because that's been superseded by Amendment 14, Section 2. And Ron Johnson, all these guys, they need to be brought down. I mean, for some reason, you know, that they got drawn into this little conspiracy there and somehow some twisted version.
Because they were willing. No one can get dragged into something that they're not willing to do. I mean, I know I blamed it on my brother growing up, but every time I was naughty, it was my fault.
No, you blame it on me. Still as an adult, Curdy.
Well,
it's still your fault.
It's often your fault, Tom. It is. It is. Seriously, it is your fault.
I am not a role model. I am not responsible for anybody other than me.
Thank goodness. Thanks for the call,
Mark. I don't want that kind of responsibility.
I discourage your own children from looking to you as a role model, even.
As do I.
Certainly, I would discourage mine from looking at Uncle Dom for any sort of
I make no promises. Ask me no questions. I'll tell you no lies.
Now, do we have Jim Santel on the big show tomorrow? Former U.S. attorney from
you
the
know,
Mars?
I don't think I confirmed, but we are. What time you want Jim on tomorrow? I think he's pretty flexible. Maybe the happy hour, man.
The happier happy hour, Dom. Yeah, always happier in the happier happy hour at 5.
And 5 o'clock is it.
You know, I got Joe Sapecki booked for Wednesday of next week, so I am working on future shows.
Vegas Joe. All right, man. Good Vegas to see Joe. Scott Ross today. Miss our buddy, our flamethrower, firebrand, Gemini, Scott Ross.
I don't know if he'll be the same all married up and such. Nice to see the vice president in my backyard today here in Kamala Harris Day in Madison.
appreciate you going out, hitting the road, doing your job, man. Thank you for that.
I did work today. I'm kind of proud of me. I don't always work so hard, but today I scrambled. I was working hard for you, our fair audience. We'll do it again tomorrow, because tomorrow is Friday Eve. And this song is what, Dom?
This is Ozzy Osbourne and Eric Clapton. Great song. These two together, some of my favorites.
Was this like MTV Music Awards?
Oh, man.
How did I miss this pairing? It's not
it's,
as good.
It's called One of Those Days. It was released, I don't know, a couple of years ago. Check it out. Ozzy. Thank you, audience. Busted Pencils coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.